time to be
Love Talk Radio.
After people who are trying to be profitable and put food on the table, hire more workers, and grow the economy.
Vance Ginn is a former chief White House budget office economist under President Trump. He says small business owners don't have the money to fight the IRS and will suffer the most. Democrats believe the agency will increase audits on the wealthy, but a study done at Syracuse University found the IRS targets the poor at about five times the rate of everyone else. You're listening to The Latest on NBC News Radio.
Not having a diagnosis is not the same thing as being in good health. Are you energetic, cheery, pain-free, well-rested, clear-headed, happy with your weight, and don't get colds and flu? If so, tune in to the Healthy by Nature show and learn how to stay that way. If not, our expert guests will help you find natural answers.
Healthy by Nature, Thursdays at 7 a.m. Learn more at hbnshow.com. That's hbnshow.com. And let's go ahead and take a look now to Alternative Talk Weather. I look for Thursday. Well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 78, 79 degrees. Tonight, clear skies. Low temperatures back down to about 57, 58. For Friday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 70s with clear skies through the overnight and low temperatures in the upper 50s. Sunny skies and 80 degrees for Monday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Hi, welcome. This is Dr. John DeMartini. This is one of the most amazing and inspiring shows that you can listen into. If you want to be on the edge of your seats, if you want to open up your heart, if you want to expand your mind, and you want to meet incredible people, stay tuned because you're just about to experience a transformative radio show that will change your life. And you're listening to the Dr. Pat Show is coming up right next to you.
Welcome to the Dr. Pat Show. Talk radio to thrive by. Powerful, inspiring, and coming to you live, bringing you stories of people like you and me, busting through and living life full out. Get ready to dare to wonder what your life would be like if you knew you could not fail. Hey, everybody. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. We got really another powerhouse lineup for all of you out here. First of all, let me say hi to my amazing producers, both Benny and Jacob. Good day to you.
What's up, Pat?
Hey, good day. How's it going?
Yeah, hope you all doing pretty good.
Pizza King. I threw it back way far for you.
That is so, like, what do you call it, throwback, Benny?
I'm always throwing stuff back.
I love that.
Even 12-ounce curls. If someone gets that joke, someone will get that joke. Never mind.
Okay.
Awkward.
It is awkward. I woke up this morning, and I got in here. I don't even know what time I get in here now. All I know is it's like, you know, I stop for my coffee on the way in, or place I always go to, nice organic espresso, come in. And, you know, I get in here, turn everything on. And, Jacob, you know what I discovered? There's a ritual.
What's that?
I have this ritual, right? So when I come in, I have this ritual. Like, I'm the first one here, and generally, not always, but so I come in and I realize, probably from reading Mara's book, you know, I realize that there's a lot that I do in life that's very ritualistic. So this morning, I caught myself, right? So, Benny, it's like where you are, right? We're in a suite, let's just call it. And we're kind of protected. We have a door you have to unlock when you come in. Then we have a glass door for our suite, and then we have other, right? But I realized I have a ritual on how I come in and unlock the doors. I noticed this for myself, and I think I picked it up from I think there's something that Mara wrote in a book about embodied tracking. There's just a couple of things I picked up, but I was so aware of it this morning because I do the same thing every day that I come in. I come in, I unlock the first door, I walk all the way down to the kitchen, I take my little espresso, I turn that light on, I put that on. I take my laptop, I leave it outside the door, right? I put it right under the chakra. Jacob, have you noticed, like, right outside the glass door, there are these glass,
yeah,
right? Those are the chakra systems, right? And I put my computer right next to the chakra things every day before I open the door. Then what I realize I do is there's an order that I unlock all the doors. I always start with the room you're in, Jacob. And then I have to turn on the lights in every room. Now, even though I will tell you, Mara, the producers and Benny probably will tell you, they don't like all the lights turned on because they're working on 2, 3, 4 computers in front of them. They don't like, but that's what I do. I come in and turn the lights on. And what I realized today is, as I get to introduce all of you to Mara, Mara Branscombe, the book, phenomenal. I am so aware of how little I really know about this and how seriously important it is as a mover of energy. You know, look, Mara's joining me here today. I'm going to tell you. I could go on and explain what she does. Mother, writer, yogi, artist, teacher, mindfulness leader. Hello, we're going to talk about that today. Ceremonialist, spiritual coach. But one of the things that I never thought in my life, as I sit and I think about her adventurous spirit, what she's done, and we're going to talk a little bit about sailing because that's what she and Linda have in mind. But when I think about her life as a ritual, it makes so much sense to me about why ritual as remedy and body practices for soul care. Now, Mara, before I dive in, Benny, I got to tell you. You know, the other day when I talked about Sandman, the Netflix Sandman, there are more rituals in that limited series. I'm now reflecting back on it. There are more rituals in that series. I'm going to go back and watch it again. There are more rituals. There are more things that are explained to people on how to work with sand, how to work. I mean, I'm just so in awe. And yet, I am so concerned that we are going to lose the lost art of ritual as remedy. Mara, it's great to have you here. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
I want to ask you this question because I just read so many things about you, and certainly we're going to talk about some of the rituals in the book. But I just don't know that people are aware of how often throughout the day they actually perform rituals. Mm-hmm. And my question to you is, everything I've just read about you, phenomenal book, that I read the book, okay, going to talk about it. What did you have to overcome? What challenges? What obstacles, right? Did mm-hmm. you? Like Mara, what did mm-hmm. you have to overcome to get here today, to this very moment, so that you and I can have this conversation about that?
Great, deep question. Yeah. What did I have to overcome? Well, I was raised in a very conservative household environment, not religious, my parents provided me with a deep love of nature. We had a summer cabin, so I was blessed with that. And what I had to overcome was that I was always choosing the other direction than was what was expected of me. And I had to hold true to that and explain and trust. And, you know, there was this, I had a very significant loss, in fact, at a formative time in my life when I was 20 years old. And that was that a partner at that time committed suicide, in fact. And so we're going to go deep really quick, really fast here. And there was something that happened in that moment. We were very connected. It was a very spiritual relationship at a very young age. You know, it was like one of those that's like quite unexplainable, maybe cosmic in a way. And in that loss, somehow I received the message to go forward and do the healing work I needed to do to then share the healing with the world. And then my life became a series of trainings and adventures and deepenings and inquiries, both in the natural, the physical world, I would say, crossing over to the extraordinary world. And that's what has allowed me to share, I believe, what has come through the book.
I am so glad you answered that question. And you know, I've shared this recently on the show, and I've talked about it more, but I'll tell you, it took me a good 10 years. I've been doing this show for 20 years. We started the network, the Transformation Network, about 15, 12, 13, 14, I don't even know how many years ago, but I never would talk about myself, right? Mm-hmm. As a matter of fact, I didn't even talk about what I shared with you before the show about coming down with the mystery disease until way later in time. Mm-hmm. But here's what I love about what you shared. You and I have something in common. We have lost someone close to us from suicide. Me with my mom at age six. And even at that age, I shared a very spiritual connection of what happened to me. Mm-hmm. But what I love is, thank you for really sharing something so personal. Mm-hmm. But you see, now I understand why you have the ability to take other people to places they may not have even thought they could go. And by understanding that we can do this through rituals, at least in your latest achievement here, it does become a remedy, doesn't it?
It does. And thank you for sharing all of that. And what you said right at the top of the show, all of the rituals that you do on a daily basis that you never actually realized you're doing, what I'm proposing in this body of work is, may we make them conscious. May we make these rituals significant, meaningful. May we make them sacred and holy so that we can understand, you know, what's really true for us, what lights us up, what makes us feel connected to our spaces, our places, our own selves, and our communities.
Yeah. And, you know, as we're talking about this, and we're going to talk more about it, is that, you know, from this place of understanding of what we can share with others really comes a deeper connection. And I find that especially when, you know, I read a book like yours. And, of course, the book is just one part. You know, I briefly shared so much more. But when you come out of the gate, and we're looking at what you're presenting, not just a book that talks to us about really cool things to learn, but you're really inviting us to a way of being, right? Did I get that right?
You got it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Because this is what I loved, and we're going to talk about what you have in the book because it's beautiful. I never thought in my life, growing up, living on the East Coast, that somehow I would move to Seattle, go to school in California while I lived here, commuted, and through the strangest of ways, meet a woman who became my mentor, Sidonia Cahill, who was one of the first women to start circles, women's circles and circles, medicine books. Now, many people don't know about her. They don't know she wrote the first book, one of the first books on ceremonial circles. And I got to meet her. I'm a girl from the Bronx.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself in a desert with a small group of people and this woman called Sidonia Cahill. My life changed. And I don't want to go into my life because I want you to help us understand that what you've written about, the way you live your life, what I discovered in the high desert of California my first time and then alternate times, and how this woman mentored me before her sudden death changed my entire life. I changed my direction. I finished my PhD, but I couldn't do the high-paying business track. I want to ask you this question. How and rituals, and especially the way you've laid them out. I got a couple here that are my favorite. But how can rituals help people, one, get clarity around what is my next step, even if I don't know my purpose? And then how do they help us activate?
Rituals support, I believe, the path towards the essential self, our true nature. When we engage in ritual, and by that I mean any act that is conscious and intentional. It could be your morning coffee and having it in a quiet space, or the way that you do it that you turn off the external noise, in fact. When you engage in a conscious, mindful moment in a ritual, you turn off the external distractions and you drop into your essential self. Therefore, you may receive a message that comes from the essential self that says, here I am, and this is what I'm most connected to in this moment, and this is how I'm going to activate the next step of my life. So providing the space to drop into oneself without the external distraction and noise, to hear the intuitive voice that wants to come forward that will support you on the next steps of your life, essentially.
You know, first of all, thank you, because a lot of times I think there is, and I just want to really get to this really quickly with you, is, you know, a lot of times when you speak to people that have not had the experience I have or live the life you have, when you bring up the word ritual, you know, without really having a conversation of how practically they do this every day and how it is not something far-fetched, right, we get into a conversation and a process about people then want to hear more. See, this is what your book does, you know, and I want to just get right to it, because one of the things I love that, again, discovered through April 1st of 2004, the mystery disease, is ritual as a remedy, awaken the inner mystic in you. Here's my question. Now, I would like to know now in my life that I do not have to have something catastrophic happen to me for me to get this, right? But a lot of times we have these things in life that happen that allow us to take that next step. But ritual as a remedy, it awakens a lot of things, doesn't it?
And you're right, you know, we don't have to have these catastrophic things that happen, although they do, you know, when they do happen and we can be conscious and mindful or accept it as an invitation, you know, to awaken to something, you know, more deep within us. If we can stay steady, this is my thing, I feel, that I want to share, and this is what I have to remind myself of daily, too, is that if I can land into some sort of mindful ritualistic act on a daily basis, then I build this body within myself that is living ritual. Therefore, you know, it's not the week-long retreat. It's not the, if I can only start that daily meditation. It's taking this striving nature out, and it's putting in the living body, the lived experience that, you know, we have the capacity on a daily basis to tune in, to connect, to forgive, to heal, and to activate.
Yeah. You know, as I take a look at this and as you step through, I don't think there's a mistake of the timing of the release of your book, right? I mean, it's out now. I don't think you sat down and said, oh, you know, like we're going to have 3 years of COVID and then, oh, my book's going to come out. It's going to really help people. Maybe you did that. Maybe you knew that. But here is what I'm struck by. What I'm struck by is the fact that what you've been able to provide here really will help people in multiple areas of their life with multiple things. And so this is really the connection I would love for you to make, because you're talking about the elements. You're talking about fire, right? We're talking about water, because we're talking about the moon and the moon cycles, right? Because for people that are listening and you say the word ritual, some people will say, oh, yeah. And other people will say, I don't even know where to begin. From your perspective, you've done such a beautiful job at giving us different pieces of this and giving us multiple choices. How can we help people understand, one, where to start, and then we're going to dive deeper into some of the more details, like why at a young age did I love getting out in front of that full moon like a crazy person, even growing up in the Bronx? Why?
Yes. Great. And so we begin by leaning into what matters most, leaning into what we love. So if at that young age you were lit up by the moon, I had a similar experience. It was my first memory in my whole life, and, you know, I feel like my whole life has been organized around the full moon. And today is full moon, so happy full moon, Pat.
Thank you.
Yes.
You're going to have to give me the ritual for today,
I will.
Before we finish.
Absolutely, I will. So we lean into, you know, and this is where we make the work really accessible. So, I mean, we lean into what we're gravitated towards, naturally what we love. So if you receive that message of light from a young age, and, you know, the moon, you lean into that. You you go forward and do that. And for other people, will be, you know, ritualizing their golf game, or, you know, making going to the gym like kind of a more sacred experience, or cooking, you know, making it conscious and blessing the food and the farmers that grew the food and the animals that have given their life. So that's what I really want to unpack here, is that it's, you know, we lean in, we're all such unique individuals, and so we lean into what is already there and build upon that.
Yeah. See, that's what I love, because, you know, what I'm talking about, and I'm just going to clarify for people, one of the things that got me out to the moon at a young age, really young age, was the fact that I bounced around from relative to relative, because this was prior to my mom's suicide. And I bounced around to my relatives before my dad had to put me in a Catholic boarding school. But as I bounced around, you know, I ended up at one of my aunt's houses, and she was called Mrs. Meany, I'm just saying, okay, take that back, but not really. She was pretty mean. But, you know, when you live in places like that, and you're like the extra body, you're going to get put in a corner. You're probably in there with the cockroaches and everything else. Mm-hmm. So I chose to sleep on the fire escape,
mm-hmm.
right? So I'm like, okay, can I? So I took myself, and I would crawl out on the fire escape. And after trying to keep dragging me in and dragging me back, they finally said, who cares? Let her stay out there. Maybe she'll fall off. I don't know what they said. But there I was.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you know anything about New York, and if you know anything about the East Side versus the West Side, and you understand about sunrise and sunsets, it's a beautiful way to really engage in the spirit energy of something mm-hmm. like the moon. Mm-hmm. But see, that was a little ritual for me, and that stayed with me. I want to talk about how we can help people today understand that nobody wrote a rule book on rituals. Your book is, for me, a guidebook. It's saying, wait a minute, you can activate your creative genius. You can activate your courage. You can really do things that maybe your inner knowing is calling you forward to do. And then you give us everything here, from that to even the movement. But all of this, isn't this all about activating the next level of awareness for us in some way?
Absolutely. That's really well put, well expressed. Activating the next level of awareness and tuning into a frequency that is of a higher vibrational field. I mean, you were saved by the moon, Pat. You as a little girl were saved by the moon, and you chose to accept that invitation. And therefore, you then followed the path that you're on, because you received the light force of the moon, I believe. You know, when you were telling me that story, I said, that is what activated you and, you know, probably your journey and your path. So thank you for sharing, you know, that story. And I think we can all relate to that in a way of meaning. It's like that natural inclination. And that's, you know what brings us to? Trusting our intuition. Trusting our instincts. And that is also why we do ritual, and that's also where we can go as a collective. Now, I did not, you know, when I was writing this book, I received a message that it was for the collective, that this book is for the collective. So it's a guidebook for everyone to then take and make their own. And it is free. And it is like, it, you know, I want to encourage everyone to like then craft the rituals that feel best for them.
Yeah. So, you know, when I think about this, and this is what we're going to talk about when we come back from break, but for many of you that are just tuning in, what we're talking about, and Jacob is putting this up on Facebook because this is also a video on Facebook, but I just want everybody to see really what we're talking about. You know, we're talking about, you know, embodied practices for soul care, ritual as remedy. And, you know, when you take this book and you take a look at it and you go through, you know, one of the first things that you talk about is where our true power lies. And, you know, and I want to talk with you for a minute before we go to break about this idea of our inner power and how I do believe, like right now, we need a new realization that we even have that inner power and what that inner power is capable of doing. Because I think you really talk to that in the book and you start right out with that, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, connecting to the sense of that, you know, the resonance, we're all born with unique gifts. We're all born with a unique essence. And that is, to me, our inner power. And when we start to feed that on a daily basis, we return to the center of who we are, not the mind and the narrative and what society wants us to do, but that deep inner embodied knowing on the inside. When we can connect to that, we're more intuitive, we'll be more balanced, we'll be more joyful, we'll know who we are and where we want to go. And that, to me, is what it's all about.
Yeah. And, you know, I want to just take a minute, if we could, and then when we come back, what I want to really talk about is process. Mm-hmm. I want to talk about this beautiful process that you've used to integrate, how should I say it, a multidimensional level on how we do this. You know, also, there are things in the book that people don't understand the power of. They don't understand the power of language, prose, that actually can turn out to be an affirmation of sort. And so I would love for you to go through this and talk about this, as well as there are some of us that are drawn to one element or another.
Mm-hmm.
And as my mentors and coaches would say to me, there's more than just fire, Pat, in the world. So, okay, you need a little help with that. But before we do all that, how do we get a copy of the book? Also, how do we find out more about you? Let's get people to find out about you.
All right. Well, let's direct them straight to ritualasremedy.com. That's a new site that I've created that connects also to my personal site, which is marabranscombe.com. But just go ritualasremedy.com. There's links to purchase the book anywhere you buy your books. And you'll find out more about the work and also about the book club that's starting in October. And we're going to go through that, the book, in over 8 weeks.
Okay. Because when you say go through the book, so what people are going to be able to experience is not just the teachings in the book, right, but what they're going to experience is how to then take some of the teachings and really use these as claiming. So yeah. One of the things that I'm struck by is there are so many things where you're asking people to reclaim. So one of the things is reclaiming your right to be here. And so this book club is going to literally take people through the who, what, where, how,
yes,
process,
along with embodied practices. So I'm bending the book club's framework. I like to bend things. And we'll be doing a bit of movement, breath work, meditation, journaling, yes, along with the downloads of the book. Yeah.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to get a glimpse of what that means. What is it about understanding these elements that you may not think you understand, but yet you love walking through the grass and you think you have no earth? Well, let's take a short break, everybody. Benny, Jacob, we'll be right back.
Does your life often feel like an emotional tsunami where rogue waves crash down on you, leaving you feeling hopeless and wondering if it will ever end? Do you wish to awaken the dormant strength inside of you? Imagine what it would be like to turn your pain into purpose. Start today by scheduling a complimentary consultation with Martinet. Dive into your healing journey and begin to see your life in a new light. Visit martinetemmons.com and make your appointment today. Whenever you start worrying or doubting
or whenever the inner mean chatter starts to steal the show and calm just goes out the window, here's a quick 30-second practice that you can do at any time. I'm Claudia Pham, your Soul Connection coach, host of the Be Happy Now show. Let's breathe out everything right now. And breathe in for four. One, two, three, four. Breathe out. Four, three, two, one. Breathe in and mentally say, I am. Breathe out. See the letters of the word calm dripping in front of your awareness. Breathe in, I am. Breathe out, calm. There you go. For more of this, go to ClaudiaFMCoaching.com and click on Meditate.
You question what an authentic life really looks like? Tune in to The Alley Effect with Allison Blythe, authentically living life your way. Every first and third Thursday at 1 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com, where Allison Blythe brings you tools, resources, and actionable steps toward your very best life. Take responsibility for your own happiness. For more about Allison, visit Allison, A-L-L-Y-S-O-N, Blythe, B-L-Y-T-H-E.com.
Tune in to Spacious Unknowing Network, Communing with Your Soul, with Julio Rose and JoJo Rose, every Monday at 7 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Let your heart beat in the rhythm of your soul and guide you to new horizons and unlimited, infinite love.
Join the New Earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each month as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia Stephanie is a spiritual teacher, passionate speaker, published author, and founder of the Empower Network. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's so great to have all of you tune us in and turn us on. I told you you were going to have fun today. By the way, if you have any questions for Mara, if you want to call in and give us a shout, you have a question, because we're not going to get to everything here in the book, but we are going to get to the process, and we're also going to get to, you know, what it is that you have done in laying the book out, but more importantly, how people can really begin to activate this parts of the rituals in their lives now. Before we go there, I want to just say 1-800-930-2819. If you're over on Facebook, just type your question in there. Jacob will get it to me. And then again, if you don't mind, how do people get the book? How do they find out about you? And how do they get engaged in the book group you're forming?
Yes, yes. RitualAsRemedy.com. That's all you need to know. Go to that site, just plug it in, and you'll have access to where to buy the book, more information, and all the information around the book club, which starts not until October, so there's lots of time.
Good. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What's up with Dr. Okay, so I'm gonna try not to digress too much, but I got to ask you. Yeah. There's something up with October, because I changed a whole bunch of launch dates and everything to October. And it doesn't even make sense, like,
right,
around me. October and even creeping into November, but not that far into November that I'm into Scorpio, right?
Mm-hmm.
But what was it? But, I mean, I just came up with that, and people are like, how did you come up with October? I don't know.
Right, October feels good. You know, I feel like September, we need September to land and arrive back into the fall season. We have fall equinox. It's a time of rebalancing. And so I feel that we're rebalancing in September, and by the time we get to October, we're ready to dive into some work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Thank you for putting that, because now I can explain it.
Okay.
I was really struck by how you wrote the book, but how even as you wrote the book, you're introducing us to possibilities. And mm-hmm. so I want to just ask you to just walk us through what people can find, because it's not just a book that you're going to read about, this is really cool, you know, thing to know, but you take us on, and I got really, I stayed a long time in the shapeshift mm-hmm. in that section of the book,
yeah.
and probably because it's something I need to hear. But the way you've laid this out, you really honor the medicines, the earth medicine, right? You honor the movement, power of movement, how sacred moves can help us.
Mm-hmm.
So when we're speaking now, we can literally begin one or more of the ritual practices you have in the book. What would you say to people listening on how to go about it? Because I'm one of these people, I will take the first run through the book, like, in order, and then I'm, like, back. And then I'm, like, okay. Then I'm, like, in the middle of the book
yeah.
again.
Yeah, that's great. So what I would, yeah, and I would love to say to people is that, you know, for some of us, we don't like to read from start to finish, and we love to start where we're most naturally drawn to. And I would say go for that. This book is a book that's meant to be a resource also for life. And so you can open it up just like you pick an oracle card. Literally, if you're looking for a morning inspiration or a little morning download, you can just open it up to whatever page you want and you know, catch a glimmer of something, and you may feel something that resonates for you. You can also start by elements. So if you're naturally more inclined to fire, let's say, you could start there. Or if you know you need grounding, you could start with the earth chapter. Now, where I would tell people to begin, and I'd love to bring this forward just to give you a little flavor of what's in the book is, you know, I love to say bookend your days with ritual. If you're new to this work or you're looking for somewhere to start, begin a morning practice. It could take 2 to 5 minutes, that's it. And it could be that it's a morning gratitude practice. So call forward 3 or more things that you're grateful for. You could write them down. You could speak them inside your mind. You can light a candle and then call forward your gratitudes. Go one step further. Visualize your day going the way you want it to go. In fact, that takes about 1 minute. You just close your eyes and say, okay, visualize my day. Okay, there it is. And then one step further, I always ask this of myself every day. What am I evolving into today? Or what am I opening to today? And I have to get quiet, and I just listen. And so, for example, an answer could be, I'm going to roll with the waves and the tides of life today. So simple as that. That's a little piece of wisdom for me to know that, you know, if I come up with some challenging pieces in my day, which we all have and do, then can I roll with it as opposed to getting, you know, in reaction to it? So that's a little bit of an idea of what I wanted to share.
I love that. And I love the way you presented it because, you know, what I shared with you at the top of the hour in my introduction to the most amazing, you know, Sidonia Cahill,
yeah.
and how that woman changed my life. And, again, it was the oddest thing. I've shared this on air before. I work for a consulting firm who was flying me back to school but who needed me on a project. So he couldn't let me go back to school full time. So he flew me back for, like, 5 years.
Wow.
It was amazing. And, you know how you know something's right? There was never a conflict conflict with my schedule.
Yeah.
I never had a scenario where I couldn't go into the Snohomish County PUD and work on reengineering their process
mm-hmm.
exactly on the days Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. 5 years, it worked out. My school schedule, my teaching schedule, my dissertation schedule, everything worked out. That's how you know, right?
Yeah. You were in the flow.
I was in the flow. And you talk about flow in the book. And I studied with the flow guy down there in Claremont. But here's what I love. The universe said, you're going to need to meet this woman, Pat. You're going to need to learn rituals.
Mm-hmm.
1997. My boss sent me to work with her to go on the vision quest so I could steal her ideas so he can use them.
Mm-hmm.
In corporations.
Mm.
Now, do I look like somebody that would do that? No.
Mm.
But I do look like somebody that would go, not tell them I'm not going to do it. Because I had never really been introduced to ritual quite that way. the power from what you've written and from what people can apply. It's transformative. And I want to have you talk for a minute about what you've seen in people that can embrace, that can learn this, that are willing to learn this, even if they don't know how to do it or what to do. Because trust me, 10 days in the desert, 3 days with just water, finding a spot in the high desert, getting lost in the high desert, trusting a bird to get me back to camp. I mean, I could go on about it. Never in a million years did I think I could experience something like that that would change my life. So I'd love for you to talk about how these rituals can help people change their lives.
Great question, and thank you for that share. And yeah, rituals have the power to shift us and to heal us. And what I have seen in my years of coaching and working with people is countless times this deepening of, oh, here I am. I forgot who I was. I had lost my way almost every time. So this is why I'm sharing this, is that it always comes back to personal power and personal honoring, that it's not out there, you know, that the healing happens from within, and we have the power to self-guide and self-heal once we learn these methods and these formulas and these techniques. Sometimes, you know, we need just a little bit of guidance to recalibrate and to reframe and to remember who we are. We are born with this. Our life experience and our lived experience, and bless our parents and bless our families, they did their best, you know, sometimes have gotten us off track in our relationships and events in our life. And so the work works. That's what I'm going to say. The work works, and it requires us to show up on a daily basis. And so this is how I start to work with people. Yes, we do the full moon rituals, and yes, we do the new moon rituals. We go on retreat, and we do our, you know, our meditations for 7 days. And it's, again, comes back to the daily. What can I do on a daily basis?
Yeah.
Well, I can do my gratitude practice first thing in the morning. Before I go to bed, I can say, thank you for another day on this planet. My work is done. May I rest now. So before you go to bed, you can really consciously bring in, my work is done for today. I'm going to turn all my devices 30 minutes off before I go to bed.
Yeah.
And then I'm going to drop into the dream time to recalibrate. And so that's what I would share in this way.
And I love that we're talking about it because, you know, what I'm really struck by, first of all, how many things you capture and cover in the book. And the way you explain them, including for people, for you don't really know, like we were talking about moon earlier, but if you don't really know much about it, you know, you even give people the monthly navigation chart. You know, you explain that there are different things that happen on different days. Like you said, this is a full moon. Like full moon has a certain energy, right? Let's talk about that for a minute.
Yeah,
because you can incorporate the full moon and the elements, right, as well. So, for example, I live in the Pacific Northwest. One of the most incredible things to do is on full moon day, go down there to the Puget Sound. I like to go to Edmonds. Yeah. You know, I like to go to where the ferry is. I like that area. If I have more time, I like to go right up to Port Townsend, right? Mm-hmm. But there's never been an explanation. When I read your book, I have a more sense. Why? Mm-hmm. Why did I move from the East Coast to Seattle? Right.
The moon is in you. She's in you. She's alive. You're kindred with the moon. But listen, this is what I love to share about the full moon, and I think everyone can relate to this, okay? The full moon reflects back to us what actually might be out of balance so that we can tune in and get in there and rebalance. Everyone says, oh, the full moon kept me up all night. The full moon's making me crazy. The full moon's making me this or that. And then when we can go, okay, wait a minute, I'm actually going to receive, where am I at? What feels out of balance? What's intense? What's dramatic? Then I journal all those things. And then I look and say, okay, I want to call forward a full moon spirit message. How can I ground into what is changing right now in my life? you know, what am I willing to let go of? What doesn't serve me anymore? What thoughts in my mind are capturing the saboteur or the critic in such a deep way that it's throwing me off? It's making me tired. So let's let the full moon figure out what needs to be released. We look at what's working and what's not working. And then we go, okay, we call forward an I am statement. I am willing and ready to roll with the tides in life. This full moon in particular is all about adapting to change.
Wow, there you go.
There you go. And it's all about being emotionally mature to deal with the change, whatever that means to you. So sometimes our inner child wants to come out and be like really dramatic at full moon and have like, you know, little temper tantrums here and there. And it's, you know, once we know that, we can see it not only in ourselves, but we can see it in others. We can see it in our family. We can see it in our children. We can even see it in our pets. And then we have more compassion, actually. So we stay out of reaction and we go into compassion. And that's exactly what ritual does for us.
Yeah. You know, I love that you talked about this because, you know, here's an example. And let's just really talk a little bit more about, you know, this idea of really looking at what it is, the ritual that's going to work for you, for what you want to bring in. And that's really all described in the book. Certainly there are going to be people that can work with you in the book community that you're creating. But, you know, part of this is, you know, the conversation you have towards the end about evolutionary practices of the mystic,
mm-hmm.
right? And I think the way you talk about this later on in the book is you say, you take us through all of these individual things, but then you talk about what the global impacts may be on those that really start to do this and what to look for in the world. Because people feel like I have no control about the world. And yet, documenting thousands and thousands of years, hieroglyphs, even before that, ancient Sumeria, diagrams of how people took ritual, participated in them for global things, right?
Yes.
Changing the sky. Please remind us of that potentiality.
We do the work to pay it forward. We do the work to be good ancestors for the earth, for our people, for the generations to come. And this can give us faith, in fact, in a very complex world that we live in. And so when we are able to, on a daily basis, come back to our true self, our true nature, however that is for you, whatever practices light you up, it's got to be some kind of embodied practice, some kind of meditation, some kind of form of exercise, being in nature, creative acts, connecting with others in a positive way. When we have that, we are more grounded and open to then allow the work to move through us and to cast it far out into the world for the intention. May there be healing. May there be justice. May there be peace. May there be love. We become pillars of that. We magnetize that to ourselves. Those of us that are doing the work are going to circle together around the world, and we're going to be able to shift and heal. Yeah. I believe that.
Yeah. And, you know, look, there will be things that we will be called to do and know to do, and this is really what I want to talk to our audience about today, because you may have a knowing, and I've shared this story on air now a bunch of times. Literally, something happened to me right before 8-8, but I got this. I can't even explain it. Maybe it had to do with some of the rituals I was unknowingly doing at home, right? Like walking in the grass and my bare back. Just, I have no explanation. But I will tell you what I did. I had a complete knowing that I needed to have my programmers delete every bit of development testing we have been doing for the past 2 years of our technology, to go in, delete whatever we've done, to give us a new set of data, mm-hmm. also to go back to some of the frameworks that we use, because I realized our framework for the way we present shows was so far ahead that we didn't realize that what we were doing, even with the way we display things, was now what Netflix and HBO is doing. So I have this moment, all of these things, and then I took immediate action. Now, for the people around you, the good news is Jessica and Linda and everybody knows me, right? But the programmers are like, what do you want me to do? You want me to delete? And like it took 6 email messages or more to just say, please, yes, just do that. Well, you know, it's yes, please just do that now. What happened after was born out of ritual because I needed to ask for insight of what was next.
Right.
I want to help people understand that what you've written about and what you've dedicated your life to is to provide people with insights, potential actions, healings, remedies that wouldn't have come to them without allowing for the space for those to come. Because what came to me next was the reason, and that happened yesterday. Now, it took a couple of days. 8-8 was a really important day, but yesterday it was it. And Jessica and I had a call and said, oh, my gosh. This is why we need to do this. Mm-hmm. See, but people, if we could understand what you live and breathe every day, and if they look at this or even join your book community, can you imagine how we can change our lives?
Mm-hmm. And we're listening. And you received that message, Pat, because you were listening. And then you weren't doubting. And, you know, sometimes, you know, and that's why we listen on a daily basis, however you can. And, you know, for those of us that aren't informally, you know, connected to meditation, that doesn't matter. This is what I want to really get the message across, is that this work is for everyone. And it's about how you can quiet the external noise and a phone and the, you know, all the technology and daily have some silence or sit in nature so that you can have an opportunity to hear the voice that wants to come through.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Look, I know we've got a couple of minutes left, but I really want to talk to a few things that people may not realize they're doing or even understand that they're doing. There's a ritual that I have, and I subscribe to a certain email, and it's a website that has the most interesting and creative websites. And they give awards. So every week or every month, they rate somebody's new website design, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like to look at these because I get ideas. So somebody said to me, why do you even look at these, Pat? I mean, you're never really going to design websites like this for the Transformation Network. And, you know, my answer was, it's less about the website and more about allowing myself the creative license to really lean into it. But again, I will say this to you. When I look at these, I actually do these almost ritualistically in my approach. What can we say to people in the time we have left? First, to acknowledge you may already be doing some of these. And then, man, if you could really do these consciously and purposely, fasten your seatbelt.
And I would like to bring forward rhythm. Rhythm and ritual go beautifully together. What do I mean by rhythm? I mean, is there a time of day that you do that is particularly helpful and supportive for you? Could be morning, could be evening, where you can get into that state of being conscious, aware, awake, and really, you know, seeing your life for what it is, Seeing your life for what it is, not for what it is not. See yourself for who you are, not for who you are not. These kind of paradigm shifts in the mind, in the heart, in the center of the body, generate positivity. They generate a frequency of, yes, go ahead and live the life you deserve. This is your birthright. And I think a lot of us in humanity get stuck in the swirl of what is impossible. And let us live daily in this realm of what is possible and what feels good. It is possible to wake up every morning and call forward three or more gratitudes. That is possible. It is possible to take a moment to bless your food before you eat it by putting your hands over your food and just honoring for a moment the nourishment provided. It is possible to dwell in the elements. Even if you live in a high-rise apartment, you can have a, you have a window, you look out at the sky, you see the shape-shifting clouds, and you go, may I too be a shapeshifter, just like this.
Yeah. Because what we're talking about is for everybody that may be listening. You too can find your miracle on a fire escape. You too can find your ritual on the steps of your house. You know, you too can find your ritual, whether you live in a beautiful tree house or whether you live in a project somewhere. And I think what you're doing, and thank you for creating the book community, because this book really does need that. People want to be part of a community so they can get support in changing in their own life's path and journey. And see, that's what you're doing. You're not just writing a book and putting it out there and say, hey, everybody, read it. You're doing the next piece that I believe is the piece that we're going into 2023, and that is the piece of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
That is the piece of helping people in that way. And it's mentorship slash coaching, but it really is this idea of mentorship, because mentorship, people will learn from each other in your book group. I know they will, won't they? And all of you will change. Thank you so much for joining me here today. Again, please give out your website, and I would love to know your personal message for today.
Mm-hmm. Okay, website, ritualasremedy.com. And my personal message is, may we walk in beauty. It's the Hopi prayer. May we walk in beauty. Beauty before us, beauty behind us, beauty all around us.
Mm. Wow. Thank you so very much for this. Thank you for everything. Now, how can people become part of your book community?
Well, it's an 8-week program. It's on the website. It is a paid program, but it's very affordable. I wanted to make it really accessible for everyone, because mm-hmm. it's movement practices, breathwork practices, journaling, mm-hmm. and the book. So ritualsremedy.com.
Beautiful. Thank you so much for everything. So much in the book. I think Jacob has been showing you the cover, right? And, you know, there actually is something really beautifully written in the book, and I think it's under Earth Medicine, about opening up to beauty and joy every step of the way. Thank you so much for everything. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to take a short break, everybody. We're going to be right back. We got more coming up. We got more to talk about how to really tap into what it is you already have inside of you and how to help you get there. We'll be right back.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are the responsibility of the host of this program, and not KKNW. This is Alternative Talk 1150 AM, KKNW Seattle, and KMUC 98.9 HD3 Seattle.
And good Thursday to you. Benny Mathers here for a look at your Alternative Talk AM 1150 traffic update for around the town. We'll have, looks like over on State Route 523 eastbound at 12th Avenue Northeast around the first milepost, a recent collision partially blocking the right hand of the lane. Good thing no medical aid, fire assistance, incident response team have all arrived on the scene. They are taking care of that situation and collision. Stay tuned. Coming up next, after the news weather, it's another hour of the Transformation Talk Radio Network with Life Strategies and Lolita Smith. NBC News Radio, I'm Lisa Taylor. The scene is still active northeast of Cincinnati after an armed subject attempted to breach an FBI visitor screening facility in the city. An Ohio State Highway Patrol officer said gunfire was exchanged during a police pursuit. No officers are injured and the scene has been contained to a certain area. This situation comes as the FBI director has been warning against threats to his agents. An Oklahoma man is pleading guilty to threatening a congressman. Threats were made against Republican Kevin Hearn. The man allegedly called for Hearn's execution.
Russia and the U.S. are negotiating a prisoner swap to bring home Brittany Griner and Paul Whelan. Russian officials confirmed the talks were happening. The WNBA star and former Marine may be released in exchange for Victor Boot, a Russian arms dealer. A top White House economic official is happy about the latest inflation reports. Cecilia Rao says encouraging economic developments keep happening. The chair of the Council of Economic Advisers noted yesterday's consumer price index for July was unchanged, while today's producer price index report revealed a drop of 0.5%. Rouse also cheered the national average gas price falling below $4 a gallon. She said that's giving families much-needed breathing room. Indiana's governor and the top House Republican are paying tribute to the late Congresswoman Jackie Walorski, who died in a car crash last week.
Many have described her as this force of nature. This positive influence.
Republican Governor Eric Holcomb said Walorski was optimistic and enthusiastic about her work. House Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy said in his decade of working with Walorski, she always had a servant's heart. The head coach of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers says quarterback Tom Brady will be away for personal reasons.
He's going to deal with some personal things. This is something we talked about before training camp started. We allotted this time because he wanted to get in and get chemistry with the guys and go through 2 weeks of training camp.
Bowles said Brady won't return until after the Bucs preseason game with Tennessee August 20th. You're listening to the latest on NBC News Radio.
The Almond Joy Factory, where tropical vibes abound. We use soft, fresh tasting coconut.
The crunchiest almonds and delicious chocolate candy.
Ah, but do you know what our most important ingredient is? Sometimes you feel like a nut.
Sometimes you don't.
Almond Joy's got nuts and something even better than that. Yes, Almond Joy is made with almonds and joy.
Let's go ahead and take a look now at your alternative talk weather. Outlook for Thursday, well, we'll see mostly sunny skies today. High temperatures around 78, 79 degrees. Tonight, clear skies, low temperatures back down to about 57, 58. For Friday and running up into the weekend, more sunshine expected. High temperatures in the mid to upper 70s with clear skies through the overnight and low temperatures in the upper 50s. Sunny skies and 80 degrees for Monday.
The views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. This program is sponsored by Dr. Pat Vasily and Transformation Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Life Strategy Show with Lolita Smith, where each show gets you one step closer to bringing prosperity and success to your future. Life is a picture of your mind, and Lolita is thrilled to help you imagine it. What things are holding you back? Her ultimate goal is to provide you with the direction and solutions to become your best self and achieve unwavering success. Rise up with her and know that there is a place where you can be true to yourself and a strategy to get you there. Let go and free yourself from the strings of the past and find success, prosperity, and unlimited possibilities. Join your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, and feel that world of prosperity right here and right now. The Life Strategy Show starts now.
Wow, everybody, I'm so struck every time I listen to that. You know, I want to welcome all of you. I'm Dr. Pat. I get to, you know, be part of an amazing show, Life Strategy Show. This is with Lolita Smith, and this is about bringing prosperity and success in your future. But, you know, as a master coach, as somebody that has truly understand what Life Strategies and the Life Strategies way is, she has created building blocks. And there are building blocks, which we've previously talked about. And today's show is about that building block that we call relationships. So you're going to get a glimpse of how to go through and understand you can't do it alone. And what are these building blocks to relationships? Because this is what Lolita does. She is somebody that's out there, a mentor. She has principles she has created for people. She provides people with a scope and an outline for their life that is filled with unlimited possibilities. And this is about bringing balance, bringing wholeness. This is about doing it for herself and helping others do it. She is a leader in the field of communications. She has done that. She is a teacher. And more importantly, she is right here with all of us today to say, this is the message that we have to have today in our world because our relationships need help. Lolita, right?
Yes. Thank you, Dr. Pat, for that. Absolutely. Our relationships need help. You can't do it alone. You know, there is a reason, season, or a lifetime that people come into your lives and that you encounter them. And it's our job, whatever that may be, to find out why and build the best relationship we can with them. So, you know, as I look at and we talk about my mentoring principles, and Dr. Pat just gave a great overview of self, relationships, and communications, they are multifaceted. There are different dimensions to each of the mentoring principles. And today we will be dealing with relationships. We just concluded dealing with self. And so with relationships, which is another foundation, because self, you have to get it right before you can be in a good relationship with someone else. So we're working building blocks through the principles to make sure we are our best selves to move through to prosperity and success. And today with relationships, you know, I pondered, how can we do this? Let's go back in our mind's eye. And have you ever wondered why your relationship seemed to fail? Or it seems like it's the same thing over and over again. And so we all look back and say, what a bonehead mistake. Why did I do that? Why did I connect with them? And this isn't just about, you know, intimate relationships. This is about relationships as a whole, whether family, whether platonic, or if you are in an intimate relationship. And so we ask, why do we repeat certain things? But I think the answer to that is because we don't really know what a good relationship is. I mean, we assume when you think of relationship, oh, that just means I'm connected. But do you know how to build a good relationship that can be lasting and rewarding in every area of your life? So today we're going to go into relationships, and we're going to start by defining what a relationship is, because we all assume we know. We could go to Webster's Dictionary and look it up, so of course that's what I did. A relationship is a connection, an association, or an involvement, and it's a way in which two things are connected. So then we ask after that, as I just touched on a little bit, so what is a good relationship or a great relationship?
Right.
And a good or healthy relationship starts by being built on a strong foundation. Even if you're already in an established relationship, it's never too late to start implementing building blocks to strengthen your current relationships and make them more rewarding. So the habits that we're going to cover today actually will help you forge a relationship built on respect, communication, which is my third principle, but we're not going to talk about it today, and appreciation.
Yeah, and, you know, this is why we are calling them building blocks. Now, you know, many people may or may not know, but they're going to hear you talk about it right now, is that they're going to hear that this idea and these principles for the seven building blocks to healthy relationships are very important, because when you take them individually, yes, you can look at them and do them. But there is an understanding of each, and that's what you're going to talk to us about. But in the end, you're really also looking for an end game of, one, respect, you said, trust is another. So take us through these. What do these seven actually mean? And, you know, I know there's more than just a couple words on them.
Absolutely. Yes, there are. And what I'm going to do is as I go through the seven building blocks, I'm going to give you actually personal examples in my life or professional life that you can relate to. And then you can say, and have that moment and understand why things occurred, or moving forward, the things that you need to change to build a healthy relationship. The first building block is to listen. I mean, it's about as basic as you can get. However, we are so poor at listening. Be a good listener. Show that you're interested in what the person has to say. Don't interrupt. Focus on what they're saying and do not respond before they're finished talking. A lot of times we end up cutting people off, assuming we know what they're going to say, or we interrupt them so that we can finish the sentence for them, or either we interrupt them so we can interject our opinion or our own thoughts. So the first thing to a healthy relationship is being a good listener. And, of course, I'm going to go here, be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. Okay, so listening is first and foremost in this. Number two building block, speak clearly. Be specific in expressing what you need or what you want. Don't be vague or expect the other person to know what you want or try to read your mind or try to figure out what you desire from them. If you want something done, be forthright, be specific in articulating what you want. And I'll give a brief example. Say you're tired of sitting in the house and you're like, wow, to your friend, partner, whatever, wow, it's a lovely day outside. And your mind is thinking, well, I'm hoping they continue and think my thoughts and read my mind and say, let's go out and do something. So you're waiting for them to leave. But when you want something specifically, speak it clearly, articulate it in a manner, and say, wow, it's a lovely day out. I think we should go for a walk. I think we should go for a drive in the country. Articulate your needs because people do not know what you want unless you convey to them what you're actually thinking.
Yeah. I mean, part of what you're talking about is there's an idea to listen, there's an idea to do something, but underneath it, there are very specific outcomes that you're really addressing. But I love also what you're doing. You're not just addressing this is what it is. You're also saying, hey, hello, if you're doing this over here, you can stop this. This is one of these things you can stop, right? I want to take a minute because we have got a lot to cover in this, and it's so important in the world we're living in now because right now you can really take what Lolita is saying and you can make these changes. Before we go forward, let's make sure people know how to find out more about you. And if they've got any questions down the road, you know, let's just make sure we get them to your website and give them a way to connect with you directly.
Yes, you can find me at lifestrategymentor.com. Again, lifestrategymentor.com, and it will give you all the specifics, the way to contact me, and what I build on in the foundation of my life strategies way.
Awesome. Look, we're really looking at creating something here that people will understand and know about and yet be able to create some room in their hearts. Because I think part of this is being able to understand where another person is coming from and allowing your heart to be open enough to even know that these seven principles are going to help people get them to where they want to go, right?
Yes, they are. And so with that, we will continue with the number three building block to a healthy relationship. And number three is set boundaries and expectations. And what I mean by that is let the other person know what your expectations are for the friendship or the relationship. Be clear at the very beginning so there's no misunderstanding on either side. And, you know, discuss boundaries for sensitive issues or things that make you feel uncomfortable. And I will use a personal, you know, example of this, and actually personal and professional. You know, back in my earlier career, I was working in sales, of course. A new manager came in, and he was hard-nosed. And because the prior manager didn't do a great job, he was brought in to clean up. So when he came in with this hard-nosed attitude, he kept saying, okay, I can fire you all. I can fire you all. This is what he was telling the whole staff. And so the third time he said that to me, I said, respectfully, this is the last time you will tell me that. You set your expectations saying you want us to achieve these goals. Give me time to achieve these goals, see my work ethic, and then if you have a problem, we can dialogue then. But until then, my boundaries are you will not constantly say to me that you can fire everyone here. And that actually was the beginning of a great friendship. So as the relationship progressed, and of course, I killed all the numbers I superseded last year, you know, he started saying, oh my gosh, you have the Midas touch. And at the end, we built a personal relationship when we departed ways and I decided to relocate. And he said, because he knew the sacrifices I had done or had occurred for my family, he said, I wish as a parent, I am half the parent you are to my son.
Wow.
So what started off as I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to you. I set boundaries. And it's okay that you set boundaries with management or authorities as long as it's done in a respectful manner. And there's nothing wrong with a partner or someone like that. If you have sensitive issues, if there were some habits in the past that you dealt with and you're very sensitive and you don't want to go down that same road, you can say, okay, these are the things that I dealt with in the past, and I'm very sensitive to that. So would you be mindful of these things, because I don't want to relive those things. And what you're actually doing by doing this are the boundaries help you maintain a level of respect in your relationship.
Yeah. And, you know, part of what we're talking about is also understanding when you're talking about boundaries is how to get to know yourself well enough to know where what's not negotiable for you, right?
Absolutely.
And then to be able to have the wherewithal, courage, and, you know, assistance, because you can't let go this alone. This one area right here, this is where if there was anything that anybody needed help with, it's right here. It's like being able, oh, I see the boundary, but, oh, I don't know if I could ask for that. Oh, boy.
And that is part what I do on a daily basis, probably hourly basis. You know, it's resolution, it's providing direction and instruction and how to handle a manner where you're not offending someone because you're not coming with a malicious intent. It's nothing wrong with conveying how you feel and letting people know what you desire without them withdrawing and you seem like you're bulldozing them. So it's a balance on how you do that, and that is part of what I teach and the part of communicating effectively. But for today, we'll go now, continue with the seven building blocks of healthy relationships to number four, which is be flexible and willing to compromise. No relationship should be one-sided at all times. And this is going to be really quick. If you're the one that's always giving and you're never getting in return, it's one-sided. There should be where each of you are willing to compromise if you respect each other. So if you're always giving, after a while, when you give all the time and you're not giving anything back, you become diminished. You actually need to be replenished by someone like you're pouring out. So it's good that you set, you know, let's compromise. You may not always want to, but it's a good practice for a friendship of respect to compromise. The next thing, number five, see things from the other person's point of view. Be open to looking at things from a different perspective. Because we don't always experience things in the same way, it doesn't mean the other person is wrong. It may be that you've never experienced something. We come from different backgrounds, different family lives, and it may be something that you've done or someone has done in their prior family, and they want to continue that pattern or habit because that was a part of their life. But if you didn't have that same family relationship, you may not understand. So, you know, because you haven't experienced it, it doesn't mean it's wrong. It just means that you just need to be open to discussing with the person why they feel that way, which allows you to see from their viewpoint what they're saying, and it gives you a respect of each other's differences and point of views.
Yeah. I mean, what we're talking about here and what you're helping people with is a list of things that people can really go through, but other parts of this too, and we're going to finish this for folks, is they can pick one. And they could say, you know what, I get what they're talking about when it comes to listening. I can do this. But when you put them all together, it really is a formula for creating amazing relationships, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And everyone has different formulas and different ways that because anybody can go online and see different ways. I utilize and what I share are things that have worked for me. And working for me and generally for, you know, the population, they can also work because there's strong principles and foundations to live by. Number six is agree to disagree and move on. No one is ever going to agree on everything. So respect that you have different positions on the matter and move on. Don't try to debate or convince the other person to agree with you. Another example, and I'm going to use family relationships. My parents are baby boomers. I am a Gen X. We see things totally different. However, we honor our mother and father and have long life. So you do not disrespect them, but I am comfortable in myself with saying to them, because they have different opinions on worldviews and state of things that we go through because they were a different generation. Sometimes I'll say, I don't agree. I love you, but we're going to agree to disagree. No disrespect to you as my parents, but we just see things totally different, and there's nothing wrong with that. And we're going to love each other regardless if we see things different. But we all have different perspectives on things. Number one, based on our current status, based on the environment in our life, based on your generation and the ideologies that you were brought up on. So it's nothing wrong with agreeing to disagree.
Yeah. And, you know, part of this is really understanding really how strongly we can learn to become ourselves more fully and authentically, isn't it? I mean, that's really what we're talking about, especially with that one. You know, I mean, look, in an ideal world, some people think, oh, we should disagree on everyone. But no, you know, sometimes so many great ideas come out of the areas where we don't agree. But what you're talking about is, how do we stay respectful? How do we stay who we are? But how do we also stay respectful and compassionate even if we don't agree with someone?
Yes, and it's not something that's overnight, because you have to work on yourself. What you have to remember is, if you are not where you want to be and confident in yourself. Now, a lot of times people remember the past of you. They only remember the past encounters that you've had and your interactions. But as they see that you're starting to change with self-dealt with by, of course, we're not going back, having forgiveness, having a positive mindset, when they see all of these things that you're implementing, they'll start seeing a change with you and in you. And when they see that, where things used to be contentious or debatable, they start seeing another side of you and start being willing to listen. But you have to be confident, and you truly have to try to change where people can see you're trying to do things differently before they become more receptive to you and receiving from you. And, you know, we'll go to number 7, which is show gratitude or appreciation. Thank the people who have helped you along the way. Don't take people for granted. A lot of times we're looking to the future and where we want to go, or we're looking to the past from where we've come back and harboring a lot of things that we haven't gotten over, but we're not looking at the now and where we are. And we need to look at that and thank the people who've helped us along the way as well as now. Sometimes we miss our now moments because we're looking in the future or we're looking in the past. Mm. So be mindful to focus on the now and thank those that's around you now, because they're placed specifically around you to help you achieve where you need to be now. So I want everyone to start looking at people in a different way that's around you. But as you do, don't take people for granted. Show appreciation for thoughtfulness and kindness. People don't have to be nice. In this world today, when someone decides to be kind or gentle or thoughtful, it's almost like you need to go out of your way to thank them, because we have life going on now. And if someone can exemplify those traits, you just definitely want to show appreciation. Also with that is acknowledge each other's talents and strengths, and reciprocate generosity. If someone holds the door, hold the door for someone. If someone needs a warm smile, give someone a warm smile. We are here, and, you know, as I come near the end for the relationship, we are here, and everyone around you, and I'm going back to what I just said, is here for a purpose in your life. It's up to us to find out through being open and receptive why that person is in our life. Is it because it's to see my character or their character? Sometimes we say, why are people in our lives? Are they here just to irritate me? But sometimes people are in your life because they show you who you are. If it's something in you that needs to be worked out, and that person is there as basically a buffer or a mirror to say, you need to develop maybe some patience, some kindness, some understanding. So Are they there for a reason? Are they here for a season? Is it because there's a project that you need to fulfill and someone is in your life to help you achieve that goal so you can go to your next level or next place? Or are they for a season? They're here for a long haul because they're going to ride or die with you. You know, they're going to be here through the good and the bad, the thick and the thin. So it's up to us to ascertain why people and relationships are around us, and then to implement these healthy building blocks to make sure we're in alignment so we can get the greatest benefit and reward out of people being in our lives and connected to us. And that's whether it's family, relationships, or business professionally.
Yeah, and you know, when we're looking at this, I just want to tell folks, again, we're going to go through all of these again so everybody has them. But when we're looking at these, what we're really clear about is you can start with one, you could start with two. You can decide which is the one that I really can step up and take a look at now. And some of these, you know, for some people, some of them are going to be easy. Some of them are going to say, well, you know what? I heard what she said about listening, but wait a minute, I need to do a little bit more work. I mean, thank you for bringing all this to the forefront today, because this really is a blueprint for people. I want to just take a minute again and just make sure people know how to find out more about you, and then just remind us of what the seven building blocks are, if you could.
Yes, you can find me at lifestrategymentor.com. Again, that's lifestrategymentor.com. And the seven building blocks to a healthy relationship are, or relationship without an S, okay, are to listen, to speak clearly, to set boundaries and expectations, to be flexible and willing to compromise, to see things from the other person's point of view, to agree to disagree and move on, and seven, to show gratitude or appreciation for those around you.
Now, when you put these all together, there is a pathway to freedom, and that's really why you do what you do, to help people get on that pathway to freedom. What is your personal message? What would you love to leave us with today?
Well, most people know what bad relationships are, but they've never learned the steps to establishing a good and healthy relationship. And a healthy relationship is not built overnight. And as Dr. Pat just said, pick one building block. If it's to speak clearly, if you're not one to speak up and say what you want and you think your mate knows, start there. If you don't show gratitude for the nice and kind things your partner or your family is doing for you, you can start with thank you. It's little baby steps to start you on your way. And it's a process. But both parties in the relationship have to be willing to put the work in to make the relationship long-lasting and rewarding. So today, take the first step to building a healthy relationship, and you'll watch it be fruitful and multiply right before your eyes. And if you need further information, or you want to see the principles that we've already, you know, touched upon in other episodes, you can find me at lifestrategymentor.com, and you can start the journey today for self, relationships, and communications.
I love it.
Thank you for listening to the Life Strategy Show with your life strategy mentor, Lolita Smith, on TransformationTalkRadio.com every third Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific. Rise up with Lolita and know that there is a place where you can be true to yourself and a strategy to get you there. Find success, prosperity, and unlimited possibility right here and right now every show. For more information and to work with Lolita Smith, the Life Strategy Mentor, visit LifeStrategyMentor.com.
Hi, everyone. I'm Dr. Pat. I'm the host of the Dr. Pat Show, and I am the creator of the Transformation Network, doing what we do in the world of positive radio, informed, educated, positive media. Independent radio hosts and independent networks have been the face of positive messaging over the past decade. So all of us here have decided we're going to put together an independent network that is going to enable people to bring their positive message of hope, inspiration, and conscious action to the forefront. Help us create a future of amazing, uplifting stories that can be told so we can tell our children and they can tell their children of what hope and conscious action is all about. I want to thank you all for tuning us in, turning us on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
Have you always known that you're on a soul path? And have you wondered how to gain real insight into the steps along your own unique journey? Welcome everyone, I'm Sarah Main, and thank you for joining me on Damayanti, the show for your soul. I'm so glad to have you along. Damayanti means peace and calm. Damayanti sheds a light for your soul through the wisdom that shines in the universal language of Sanskrit. Damayanti is the show that speaks to your soul, connects with your soul, and enriches your soul. Join me now on Damayanti, the show for your soul, and be inspired and uplifted by the beautiful light of this profound, timeless wisdom. Welcome, everyone. Welcome along to Damayanti, the show for your soul, with me, Sarah Main. And it's wonderful to have you along today. And I hope you're doing great and having a great day. And today's show is called The Great Escape, Why We Should Try to Get Out of Our Comfort Zone. Well, who's ready for The Great Escape? I mean, are you aware that you have a comfort zone? You may have heard that term before. Are you aware of it? If you're on a soul path, you would have come across it, because there's usually some little prodding to keep going, and sometimes it is a little uncomfortable. There's a beautiful quote that says, a ship in harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. A ship in harbour is safe, but that's not what ships are built for. And the first bit I want to address about moving out of your comfort zone is, why does enthusiasm for our inner work, for doing this sort of inner work, why does it tail off? Once we start on our soul path, you know, at first is great enthusiasm, as is naturally often the case with a new thing. And then we are practicing things and we're experiencing the benefits of them. And then for some reason it seems to taper off. It's a bit like New Year's resolutions. And I know a person, and he's a wonderful friend, and he's a good guide and teacher for people who are seeking to wake up and develop mindfulness skills. And he was talking about some people that he was working with, you could call them his students, and he was saying how enthusiastic and appreciative they are of teaching them. But he was puzzled that no matter how keen and committed they are to what he's doing, they hit roadblocks at some point on their path. And they seem to always go through these periods where they stopped doing these exercises that they knew from their own personal experiences were really helping them, were nourishing them, were opening their hearts and calming their minds. And they failed to apply themselves to what he was teaching, even though they knew it was giving them life-changing results. They just couldn't seem to get over that hurdle. So why do people fall into these holes, which is a question to me? Well, I mean, there is a lot that can be said about this. There are natural rhythms in every human pursuit. There are ebbs and flows. There are ups and downs. And that includes studying meditative and spiritual practices. So I think we have to, firstly, cut ourselves a bit of a break and say there are natural rhythms in everything that we do, and we know that. And the learning curve is not a straight line. There's just natural ups and downs. And there are periods where we want to work, or students work to understand a new teaching and put it into practice and become really enthusiastic about the results, and then the energy seems to fade. And one of the reasons for that is it often can be because we've actually learned the lesson and worked at it. And the fruits of the practice have been assimilated subconsciously. And we just sort of almost forget to practice because it's become part of us. And we're no longer practicing something that's separate from us. We've assimilated it. So that's one of the reasons that sort of the sort of conscious effort, conscious practice seems to fall away. There's another explanation, and this relates to the three natural universal energies. And being universal, they're always present. They're ever present. And these energies can be described as stillness, activity, and inertia. Three different energies, they're natural and they're universal and they're ever present. All three are present all the time and they play off each other. Someone once described them to me as, gave them names, different names from the ones I knew, and they were referred to as swan energy, tiger energy, and sloth energy, which I thought was really fantastic. Swan energy being the energy of stillness and calmness. Then tiger energy, the energy of activity, and inertia being sloth energy. So a little wakeful swan focus can lead to purposeful tiger action under the knowledge that's gleaned. And then that can be followed up by a period of rest or inertia to recharge the batteries. So the third sloth phase may have been one that my friend saw in some of his students, a natural period of rest after the energized, focused work. So that's one way of looking at it. And another one is resistance to change. So we've got the natural up and down of just any pursuit that we do. It's a natural human phenomena. Then we have this. Another way of looking at it is these three universal energies that are ever present playing off each other. And it could be a period of sort of rest after work that he recognises as people, or he determines if their effort tapers off. They don't just sort of keep at it the whole time. And then the other one is resistance to change. And this can be a reason why this sort of drop-off of enthusiasm, which is actually less than positive, is an inner opposition that can arise when someone's trying to change their life. And the change, just consider change for a minute. By definition, we're moving from familiar into unfamiliar territory. We're moving from that habitual state, which is familiar, to something new. A new way of living, a new way of thinking, a new way of feeling. And we go from what seems to be comfortable to something that's uncomfortable. And with that can come feelings of doubt or insecurity and discomfort. And in fact, if you're not experiencing a little of these uncomfortable feelings, there's every chance that you are not experiencing genuine change. And anyone who's used to entrepreneurial ventures will know this. It's just part of the course, part of the landscape, part of the territory. So getting used to the feeling of a bit of discomfort. It doesn't have to be huge, can escalate sometimes, like this ebb and fall, but this general feeling of just sort of slight insecurity goes with entrepreneurial events because you haven't got a fixed situation and it all rests on you to build a company, build a business, create something new. So change by definition really does bring a certain sense of discomfort or insecurity. So in my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, I actually devote a chapter to what I call the fear barrier, and there's an overcoming or getting beyond the comfort zone. And I have a diagram. It's not in the book, but I've got it. Actually, if you're viewing this on YouTube, you will see the diagram. If you're listening to it, you'll just have to imagine it. This fear diagram and living within the fear barrier and this comfort zone diagram. And it's concentric circles, and it's light on the inside, and it increasingly gets darker with concentric circles until it's quite dark. And then beyond the darkest external circle is then light, sort of light that stretches all around without any limit. So within that comfort zone, right in the middle, we're actually relatively efficient, we're confident, we're competent, and we go about our lives, we're reasonably effective, we meet the ordinary demands that are thrown at us. And within that circle, there is a degree of light and contentment, and things basically get done. So really, what's wrong with that? Well, nothing at all. You know, great. Unless you hear of a larger, freer world that's beyond our ordinary circumscribed existence. Circumscribed means with a boundary or ascribed by a boundary around it. Having heard of this wider world, it's natural for a desire to arise for it. It's just natural in our human nature. Then work has to be done to reach that new world. Aha. So there's a quick side note. I just wanted to mention a bit of caution here. New ways of thinking or acting or feeling aren't necessarily better or more efficient than the old ways. That's a separate conversation. Just because we've now got this new idea, it doesn't necessarily mean it's better than the older ways. And I would caution the new shiny object syndrome, where that can just be a distraction and an avoidance, and it's defined as new ideas. So we need to have our feet on the ground about this. So just pointing out that the effort to try something new and perhaps even risky has an attendant subtle force of resistance. So overcoming that force of inertia is what I'm actually addressing. It's not necessarily the new idea itself, something new, because like I say, that can just be a shiny object syndrome of distraction. It's this discomfort. So overcoming that force of inertia is what I'm actually going to address. So once you're out of your comfort zone and past that fear barrier, you can do things however you want. And the old ways can be the order of the day. They can be good to do, but you will bring a fresh energy to them, a new view, and they'll no longer be done out of habit and just because you've always done them that way. You'll do it more consciously. So I'm going to take a break now, and then after the break, I'm going to talk about this mounting pressure to turn back into the comfort zone, and that keeps us trapped. And we're going to talk about the moving beyond your comfort zone and stepping free of fear. So we'll be back after the break, and we're going to start getting into the nitty-gritty of getting out of the comfort zone and past the fear barrier. So we'll be back soon. The wise tell us that beauty is everywhere if only we know how to look. Here's a simple way to see beauty everywhere. Think of three beautiful things, like the laughter of a child, a sunset over the ocean, the sound of a waterfall, the taste of a perfect meal. It can be anything. Just remember three beautiful things. Then ask yourself, what do these things have in common? What do they share which we call beauty? The next step is to let go of the specifics. The laughter, the sunset, the meal, and just contemplate beauty itself. This is the heart thing. Leave the mind and go to the heart and find the universal beauty. Join me, Sarah Moon, on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul, where we discover beautiful things together. And check out my website, dhammayanti.store. Welcome back to Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. And today we're talking about the great escape, why you should try to get out of your comfort zone. Before the break, I was just talking about the fact of there being a comfort zone, and now we're getting up to the point of that mounting pressure when we desire to get out of our comfort zone because we wanted to experience a larger, freer world and fulfill our potential as limitless, universal, sovereign beings. We do meet this area within ourselves that is comfortable. It's the known, it's the familiar. And it is, oddly enough, it has a relative light about it, because it's where we generally live. It's our sort of set point, if you like. And we get things done. You know, we get through our lives, we do stuff, and it's great. But when we know there's more of us to give, there's more of us to give expression to, we can run up against this sort of inertia. And one of the ways we can experience that is through the fear barrier. And before I get into that, if you want to know more about Damayanti for your soul, you can go to my website, damayanti.store. That's D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I, D-A-M-A-Y-A-N-T-I.store, damayanti.store. And you'll see lots of things there. You can check out other links to my shows. There's a full archive of all my shows there, so just go to the podcast page. There's a blog there with lots and lots of articles on all sorts of topics, including this one about the comfort zone. So you can go and see my blog, read my blog. I'm on social media, on Facebook and Instagram, so check that out at Damayanti. I'll put my name in, Sarah Main, S-A-R-A-H-M-A-N-E, and Damayanti on Facebook and Instagram. And also these shows do come up on YouTube as well. And you can purchase some beautiful spiritual jewellery that I have, and that has these Sanskrit words on them, special meaning. And I choose them specially so that you can keep a lasting memory with you of whatever energy is important to you at the time. It may be love, universal love, prema. May be patience, kshama, calm patience. It may be shakti, divine energy. That's the divine creative energy. It may be balam, strength, or abhyasa, resilience. So there's all sorts of collections there. There's 8 collections, and you may find a beautiful gift for yourself or someone else. And this jewelry is designed to keep that energy and that memory close to you. So check out my website, damayanti.store, to find out more. So let's get into moving beyond the fear barrier and getting out of our comfort zone. So in the diagram that, if you're watching on YouTube, you can see it. Imagine concentric circles, and it's light on the inside, right in the center, which is our comfort zone. And it's slowly getting darker as it reaches the very edge, outer boundaries of the circle. And then beyond that is light. It's just limitless light in all directions. And the gradation of from light to darkness, but the darkness has a boundary, and beyond that is light, shows that things can get a bit tough and as we move out of our comfort zone. But that is a passing phase in getting out of our comfort zone. And it just shows that if we're meeting some of this resistance within ourselves, we're actually doing some work and we're getting down to it. So it seems that you're not going backwards and things are not getting worse. Things are actually getting better, the fact that you're meeting these things. But it's time to do some work. And some of the things we may meet, for example, we might meet some anger, especially when the prompt to leave our familiar patterns comes up from an external source. For example, our boss or our spouse, partner, children, or just some friends and acquaintances sort of press us to do things differently, and we react with annoyance, get irritated. And then we blame them if something goes wrong, or if we feel that there's too many demands on us, and the temptation arises to scurry back into our old way of thinking or acting. That's one way. So the sort of anger, annoyance, irritation is one. Another one is apathy and boredom and just a blah lack of energy. That is a sign that we're actually meeting something. The other, we're meeting sort of resistance. Then the other one is, or the mind can start to generate a plethora of excuses. Sort of all sorts of things can crowd our timetable, so we never actually get round to doing whatever it is that we that will actually ultimately set us free. So that's another one. It's just a whole lot of reasons for not addressing something. And then there's the elephant in the room, and that's the big one, fear. And fear can show itself in all sorts of forms, like anxiety or insecurity or self-doubt. And fear's many facets have the effect of freezing our heart and sending us back into the comfort zone. So it's really important, not so much to criticize ourselves, but just be aware of the potential of how fear operates in these subtle ways where we know it in obvious ways. But this is a subtle way, it's internal fear. So the comfort zone is not that comfortable, actually. And you may be getting a little inkling of this. And Eddie Harris Jr., he said, the sooner you step away from your comfort zone, the sooner you'll realize it wasn't all that comfortable. And I've certainly found that in my life. You don't realize it. You keep it on like an old pair of slippers. But actually, when you get free of it, you realize, oh, no, I don't want to put those back on again. So the comfort in comfort zone is actually illusory. And this is because it's liable to be disrupted at any moment by unexpected events, external events. And these surprises are usually beyond the control of our relative efficiency and competence that we have within the bounds of our comfort zone. And there's another quotation, the comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. The comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. I always liked that one. That sort of kept me thinking, kept me alert about it. True growth and freedom lies beyond the limits of the fear barrier and the comfort zone. And there's a whole new world of your potential, your universality, your limitlessness waiting for you when you've done the work to move out of your comfort zone. The whole world can open up when you've met those barriers to freedom with courage, determination, and it does take a bit of discipline. So this new world has, but it has its own geography and signposts, and it has some challenges and pitfalls for sure. But it's a world of freedom where growth is possible. Because remember, nothing ever grows there, all right? The comfort zone is a beautiful place, but nothing ever grows there. And beware of that sort of false security and safety of the comfort zone. So outside that comfort zone, you find creativity, power, and a conscious confidence in yourself. It's a real confidence. So when we break free, as I said before, we find another whole world waiting for us. And it's only when we've awakened to the fact that in the comfort zone we're in Shakespeare's words, cabined, cribbed, confined and bound in, that we desire to make our escape. And this is because the escape, to be effective and long-lasting, has to be conscious and disciplined. It involves work. I know these are sort of yucky-sounding words, but it involves some work, and it's the effort of being aware that we don't want to go back into those old habits. We want the freedom, the growth. We want to experience our true self, our true potential, that we will engage in some sort of discipline to break free. So a final point, beware of the apparent safety of the comfort zone. And it's exactly that, it's a mere appearance. And if your vision is limited to only a few feet in front of you, then you won't see the sort of life events. One way of looking at it is like a freight train barreling towards you out of the fog. You won't see that. So beyond the fear barrier, your vision is so much wider, and you'll see these life events coming towards you, and you can take appropriate action. So remember, it's all okay, even when the going gets a bit tough. No effort is ever, ever lost, no matter how bad a day you're having. Keep going. Never, ever, ever, ever give up. And practice steadiness and stillness. On Instagram, I think, certainly, on my social media, I often post daily breather, which is just like a 60-second moment to just be still. Just press pause on the activity of the day, the responsibilities, just for a moment, and come back to stillness and develop that ability to fall still straight away and get that anchor. And actually, in my book, I put in an exercise called the anchor, and that is a more extended experience where you develop that anchor within yourself to what's true, real, and strong. And it's really important to get that, because this takes you through these difficult, challenging times. One final encouraging quote: when you step out of your comfort zone, you are stepping into your greatness. So I'm going to end by chanting some Sanskrit for you, and my next show is going to be on the three great lessons: restraint, generosity, and compassion. So I'd love you to check that out. Three great lessons: restraint, generosity, and compassion. So a little bit of Sanskrit to finish. And this is from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad. Lead me from the unreal to the real. Lead me from darkness to light. Lead me from death to immortality. May peace and peace and peace be everywhere. Om Asatoma Sadgamaya Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya Mrityorma Amritam Gamaya. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Thank you for spending time with me on Dhammayanti, the show for your soul. To find out more about Dhammayanti, or to get my book, Conscious Confidence, Use the Wisdom of Sanskrit to Find Clarity and Success, or to purchase my range of beautiful spiritual jewelry, go to my website, dhammayanti.store. That's dhammayanti.store. Dhammayanti.store. See you next time.
The views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of KKNW, its management, or other advertisers. Contests are...